I've named this morning's message, God's Plan of Breaking Free from Anxiety. And so I'd like to begin with a question. Have you ever felt anxious over something? Have you ever had that experience?
Yesterday, not today.
Okay, yesterday, all right. You know, medical professionals say that anxiety is often caused by stress. When we have stress in our lives. Anybody have some stress in your life? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I thought so. It's a fear. It's an apprehension when thinking about something that might happen in the future that may never happen. It's a fear about something that didn't happen yet. And so we become very anxious. Now, not all anxiety is bad. And what do I mean by that? Sometimes anxious moments motivates us to accomplish something. I must confess, when I was in school, I always studied the night before. It was very anxious. But it motivated me somehow to comprehend things to do fairly well on the test in the morning. And so, not all anxiety is bad. Some of it can be very constructive. But that's not the anxiety that I want to talk about this morning, constructive anxiety at all. And I'm not talking about diagnosed anxiety. There is an anxiety disorder where fear is a constant and it debilitates people. I'm not talking about that. And I always say from this pulpit, I don't make light of medical emotional conditions, right? You can't just one swoop brush over all of these types of anxiety. And certainly, I'm not talking about clinical anxiety, where professional help should be sought. When we feel anxious about something, it results in a couple of it shows up in a couple of ways. You might have butterflies in your stomach. Your stomach is uneasy because you're anxious. Your heart rate might increase because you're so overwhelmed by this anxious moment. You might have trouble concentrating. People are talking to you and you're staring right through them a million miles away. Have you ever had that happen? Yeah. My wife usually tests me. And how she'll test me is she'll say, did you see the elephant in the room? And I'll go, of course I did. And she goes, you're not listening. So those anxious moments, maybe things that we're worried about, things we're concerned about, things that we're contemplating, causes us to drift off and we're not fully present in the moment. Or you might have problems sleeping at night, where you just can't get that sweet spot to go to sleep, and so you're anxious, and you're stirring in the middle of the night, and it causes you to not have the rest that your body needs. Some people self-medicate, and I'm not talking about healthcare providers, doctors, and nurse practitioners and people that could diagnose certain medication that could help you out with your anxiety. I'm talking about self-medicating with alcohol, and you know drugs is a pandemic here on Long Island, fentanyl and all this stuff. Usually it's people that are really struggling, and so they try to escape their anxiety by self-medicating, and that's not a good way to deal with anxiety. But let's go to the root cause of anxiety. I would suggest it's fear. It's fear of something that we can't control. How many like to be in control? How many are considered control freaks? You know, we want to be in control. Well, I got to stay close to this mic. We want to stay in control because we don't like the unknown. We want to know how the book ends. We want to know how things are going to turn out tomorrow. And there are no guarantees that we will know what's going to happen in the future. And so folks that like to be in control, and there's the fear of not being in control. There's a fear of what might happen in the future. Worries about life in the future. I love what Jesus says in Luke chapter 21, verse 34. Listen to this. He says, "Be careful and be on guard, lest your heart be overwhelmed and depressed, weighted down with worldly worries and cares pertaining to the business of your life." He says, be on guard for those moments. Be aware when they come in to your psyche, your mind, and it starts to resonate within your very physical, emotional being. He says in that same scripture to be careful not to turn to drunkenness, because that's not a solution. And so there's the self-medicating part. Even Jesus knew that 2,000 years ago. Be careful of that. He says that if we're not careful, listen to this, anxiety can creep up on us and act like a trap or a noose. It comes up on us really slow, and it could trap us like a noose. So he's saying self-awareness is very important to Jesus, and it should be important to us. We should be aware of what we're going through so that we could nip it at the bud before it becomes something so overwhelming that we become dysfunctional in many ways. Now, let me touch on an important aspect of dealing with anxiety. We should never try to carry our burdens alone. Some people try that. It's not a good idea to carry our burdens alone. We were not designed by God. We were created to be in fellowship and relationship. And therefore, we should never try to carry that load on our own. There are ways that we could seek help. We could talk to somebody. We could have people pray for us. We could do a lot of things, but don't carry that burden alone. We have been designed for worship, not worry. That's why praise is so important, and I talked about that last week, one of the P's. I love what Corrie Ten Boom said one time, and I think it really does well in trying to get at the core of what I'm trying to explain. She says, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength." You get that? It's not going to help about tomorrow. It's just going to drain you of all your strength to deal with what's happening today in this moment. You see, it saps us, anxiety and worry, and it does no good for us. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus teaches his followers, stop being uneasy, stop being anxious, stop being worried about things. And then he directs the listeners, look at the birds of the air and look at the lilies of the field and the grass. God provides for them. They don't worry. Don't you think God will provide for you? Why are you worried about what you will wear, what you will eat? He says, can anxiety or worry add an inch to your height? Can it add a day to your life? Can it extend your lifespan by worrying? I would suggest, and I believe I'm on solid ground medically, I think worry and anxiety could shorten your life. It could hinder you physically. He warns us, don't live like the world lives. In other words, don't stay glued to the TV set and all of the negativity that's being broadcasted and televised, because I want to tell you, and you already know this, the more negative the news, the better the ratings are. TV stations love to just hang out in the negative side of things. I think there's a balance on Channel 12, which is the local station, because so many times they bring in positive things that are happening on Long Island. It's not all so-and-so got shot and this happened and a break-in and someone was robbed. They talk about some good things, like this Boy Scout that was killed by that drunk driver 3 years ago. They dedicated a cabin at a Boy Scout camp in his honor. It was a positive moment out of a tragedy. And I appreciated that because there are so many good things going on in our lives, in our world. So why do we dwell on so much negativity? So I say, before you seek the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times, seek God. Seek God. Seek God, my friends. I love the way Jesus ends this chapter. He says, so don't worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow has worries and things that you have to be concerned about. Deal with that tomorrow. Just deal with today. Get your footing in the midst of your anxiousness today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Remember what Peter said in 1 Peter 5:7? He said, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Did you get that? God cares about you. God cares about me. The question is, do we believe it? Amen. Now, we just heard the words, God will take care of you. And I was joking with Amory that he is taking care of you and he's taking care of me. He really cares. God is a God about relationships. But the question is, do we believe it? Now, when Jesus talks about seeking God, he meant that we should seek God first before anything and anyone else. And I always joke about this. Before we consult with Dr. Phil and, all these other experts, go to God first, Jesus says. But he says it's a conscious choice whether or not we will go to him first or not. And Paul tells us this morning in the text that Barbara read, be anxious for nothing. For nothing. And Paul uses the present imperative. He's telling us, stop being anxious. It can't be any clearer than that. There's a tone of assurance in Paul's declaration. God is in control. God is still seated on the throne. He's not been dethroned by anything that's going on our society today and all of the uncertainties and all of the craziness that we're seeing in the world today. God is still on his throne. Do you believe that? Amen. He's not only in control, he's able and capable and willing to help us in our mess, in our anxious moments, in our trials. And then Paul writes, which ties into last week's message, he says, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, right? Don't just go to God when you need something. Thank him for what you already have been blessed with. Present these requests to God. Pray to God. Remember I said last week, it's a dialogue back and forth. Go to God in prayer. I love the old African-American gospel song, which rings true. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody but Jesus. Nobody knows. I would imagine every single one of you have something going on in your life right now. Some worse than others. And I'm not talking about something terrible, but I'm talking about something that's making you anxious. Could be a family issue. It could be a health issue. It could be a finance issue. Yes, God. It could be a cell phone that goes off during worship. But we're all dealing with something sometime. Sometimes we can come to church, we have no issues. I came into church this morning, Barbara Conrad. A picture fell off my wall and knocked everything off the mantle. And John Wesley was beheaded. His head came right off. So, you know, I came skipping into church this morning, and the first thing I said was, Satan, you're not going to win today. I don't care. It's only John Wesley's head. Jesus knows. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. Jesus knows what we're going through, perhaps when nobody else knows what we're going through, he knows. And once you know that God knows and God is capable, we then can make a commitment to place our confidence in God's ability and not our own. We can seek God and pray in confidence. It's all about trusting God, friends, with our present circumstances and surrendering the future to him. Lord, I'm surrendering today's anxiety and I'm putting the future in your hands. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. If there's anyone in the Bible who knew that and experienced it and lived it, it's Paul the Apostle who wrote our text this morning. When we do this, Paul ends this passage with these words, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." Friends, that's the opposite of anxiety, peace. The polar opposite of anxiety is to have peace in your life and mine. And I said last week, that's one of the beautiful things that I seek more than anything else. I want to have peace in my life. I want to be centered. And that's why all that stuff laying on the floor in my office this morning, John Wesley wasn't beheaded, just that statue was beheaded. Why am I going to let this ruin my day? Why am I going to allow it for me to come out here and preach to you about anxiety and to have it overwhelm me? It's only a statue. And it didn't bother me at all. The true biblical peace is the presence of God to see us through anything, friends. And so Paul says, guard your heart and mind. God is doing guard duty. If you've ever been in the military and you've had the wonderful pleasure of being placed on guard duty when everybody else was sleeping in the barracks and you still had to make the 5-mile run in the morning, God is on constant guard duty, guarding over our hearts and our minds. And I love the Greek word that Paul uses here. Listen what the Greek word signifies. It signifies an army guarding and protecting a city. An army protecting an entire city. God is that impassable sentry that Satan is going to try to go through, but he can't penetrate. Because God won victory over him the day Jesus came out of that empty tomb. And so he's there, an impassable sentry over our lives. I love the old hymn, "Who Speaks Loud Witnesses Truth." Listen to this. "Oh, what a peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." We forfeit peace because we're trying to figure it out. We're trying to work it out. We're trying to do it on our own. And I want to tell you, anxiety is that pin that pops the bubble of peace in our lives. Pop. It'll rob you in an instant. The way to be anxious about nothing is to be prayerful in everything. The way to be anxious about nothing is to be prayerful in everything, even in those tight moments. And so there may be someone here this morning or someone watching online who's worrying about things that you can't control. Folks, it's out of your control. Yes, fix the things that you can fix, but there are just certain things that are out of your control. The burden is weighing you down. Weighing you down with burdens that God never meant for you or myself to carry. Friends, remember this. God is only a breath away. Sometimes I could only do a breath prayer. I can't sit down and do a long liturgical prayer. I just say, "Help!" He knows. I don't have to say anything else. Remember what a friend we have in Jesus, friends. He'll get you through it. He'll get you through it. Don't you worry. Amen.